Simtek CD Productions presents Imam Anwar Awlaki.
The Lives of the Prophets, Part 1.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam came to Ismail. By the way, Ibrahim made many visits to Mecca. One of these visits, in a hadith narrated by Bukhari, Ibrahim alayhi salam comes to Ismail and tells him, "We have been commanded to build the house of Allah." So Ibrahim and Ismail started building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The spot of Al-Kaaba, the spot itself, is sacred and holy since the earth was created. It is a sacred land since the time of Adam. And that spot was known, and Anbiya used to make Hajj to that area, the spot itself. But there is a dispute and difference among the ulama whether Adam has built anything over there or not. Most likely the first one who established the house is Ibrahim. But the spot itself was holy from before. It didn't become holy the moment in which Al-Kaaba was built on it. No, that spot itself is holy and sacred. Just like Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam visited Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in the trip of Al-Isra, there wasn't anything built there. In fact, when Umar bin Khattab opened Jerusalem, it was used as a dumpster. There was garbage in that spot. But still, that was Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. That was the holy, sacred mosque. And then they are the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and in the time of Abdul Malik bin Marwan, they built the two mosques that are enclosed in that haram. But before, it was a piece of land. What makes it special? It's a piece of land. What makes Al-Kaaba, the land under it, special when it's a desert and nothing grows there? It's desert. What makes it special? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah creates everything He wants and He chooses out of them. Allah chooses the best and Allah chooses the worst and Allah chooses what is in between. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who created the days and Allah is the one who chose the best of them to be Friday. Allah is the one who created the days of the year and chose Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr to be the best. Allah created the months and chose Ramadan to be the holy month of fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the days and gave the most reward for the 10 days of the Hijjah. Allah is the one who created the nights, and Allah has given the special rewards in the nights of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also created the nights, and He's made the special night Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth, and He chose Mecca and Medina and Bayt al-Maqdis to be special. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created human beings, and He chose Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the best among them. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. Allah creates whatever He wants, and then He chooses of them. So that area, it doesn't have to be a certain dimension and certain physical characteristics and certain shape and certain plans for it to be special. These are not the conditions and requirements that apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is free of all of these rules and regulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. So that spot was holy, sacred, from the beginning of the creation of the earth. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail started building the house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ.
And remember when Ibrahim and his son Ismail were raising the foundations of the house. Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, when they were building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had dua.
رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. رَبَّنَا وَابْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when Ibrahim and his son Ismail were raising the foundations of the house, saying, "Our Lord, accept this service from us. Verily you are the all-hearer and the all-knower. Oh Allah, accept it from us. Our Lord, and make us submissive unto you, and of our offspring and nation submissive unto you, and show us our manasik," the hajj, how to do hajj. "Our Lord, send amongst them a messenger of their own, who shall recite unto them your verses and instruct them in the book and sanctify them. Verily you are almighty and all-wise." Ibrahim alayhi salam, they asked Allah, Ibrahim and Ismail, they asked Allah to accept it from them. And they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them submissive to Allah, Muslimin. And they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make their descendants submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they asked Allah to send among these people a Nabi. Who is that Nabi? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah accepted the dua. They asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give this Nabi three things. Yatlu alayhim ayatik. He recites unto them your verses. Wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah. And he teaches them the book and wisdom. What is wisdom? Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa yuzakkihim. Sanctify them and purify them. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purifies us. Tazkiyah. Purifies us. Following the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a purification for us. Because if you look at the da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see that he has started out with men that had hearts like rock. And then look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried them from this state, and he elevated them to make them the best generation that lived on the face of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam and sent to this ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll finish up with the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam by mentioning some of his qualities. Ibrahim alayhi salam is from Ulul Azm min al-Rusul. Ulul Azm min al-Rusul, I can't find an exact translation of it, but there are five Ulul Azm, and these are the greatest of the Anbiya of Allah. There are five. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Nuh. And Ibn Kathir says that the second greatest among them after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam was mentioned in Quran about 73 times in 25 places. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called in Quran Khalil, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has chose Ibrahim alayhi salam to be his friend. Ibrahim alayhi salam lived a lonely life. He would travel from one place to another around the world making hijrah. He lived in Iraq for a while, in Harran, in Bayt al-Maqdis, in Egypt. He visited Mecca a few times. All of this is in traveling in difficult conditions. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was driven out of his homeland, no believers with him except his nephew Lut. And then he went all over the world, these other countries, and he didn't have many followers with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Ibrahim that, "I'm your friend. You don't need any friends in this world. I'm your friend." Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Ibrahim alayhi salam a name that wasn't given to anybody else in Quran. You know, when we're talking about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have patience and stay with the ones who remember Allah in night and day." Allah is commanding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay with the believers. Nuh, when his people came and told him, "Leave these weak people alone," he said, "No, these are the believers with me. I will be with them. I will remain with them." These anbiya, they had believers around them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to remain with these believers. Why? Because we need to have an environment of iman. We need to live in an environment of iman. We need to have this support around us. It's difficult for a human being to live alone. We need to have this support. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay with the believers. Allah is commanding Nuh to stay with the believers. We know that Hud was the believers. Salih stayed with the believers. Musa stayed with the believers. And so on and so forth. Ibrahim alayhi salam is different. First of all, Ibrahim was making hijrah for all of his life. And then in many places he would go, he would be the only believer. He went to Egypt, he told his wife, me and you are the only believers here. When he was making da'wah to his people in Iraq, only him and Lut were the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibrahim a name that wasn't given to anybody else, and that is Kana Ummah. He was a nation by himself. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a nation, he was an ummah. He didn't have anybody with him, he was alone, but Ibrahim alayhi salam counts as a nation, as a whole ummah. Kana ummatan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Ibrahim was an ummah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, qanitan. He had a lot of khushu'. He had khushu' of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the night and day. 24 hours he was in the state of khushu'. Qanitan lillah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hanifan, musliman, wama kana min mushrikeen. Hanif, he stayed away from all shirk. Everyone was trying to pull him to shirk, he stayed away from it, and that is hanif. It is ikhlas ala basira. He had sincerity and understanding. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested Ibrahim with some commands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. He completed them all. He completed them all. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim, وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Ibrahim has fulfilled. He fulfilled. He fulfilled what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted from him. He fulfilled it all. وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim,
قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا.
I will make you an imam, a leader for mankind. Someone who will be a role model for everyone to follow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ النُّبُوَّةِ. We made all of the prophets after him from his descendants. All of the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rusul that came after Ibrahim were from the descendants of Ibrahim. This is the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. We'll start with the story of Sayyidina Lut. Sayyidina Lut alayhi salam was sent to the people of Sodom, or Sodom in English. He didn't belong to those people. He was a nephew of Ibrahim, but he was sent on a mission to make da'wah to those people. And he made da'wah to them. Obviously, always we find that the first thing the anbiya call to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed, la ilaha illallah. There's no God but Allah. But we need to realize that la ilaha illallah is not a word that is spoken only, it is a way of life. And when we say la ilaha illallah, we're saying that there is no God that should be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no God should be followed except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no other God than Allah. That would mean that the commandments and the orders and the instructions should be taken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We notice that the anbiya of Allah, when they are dealing with their people, they confront the problems of the society and they do not confront hypothetical situations, problems that are irrelevant, or problems of the past. They confront the diseases of the society. They put their hand on the disease and they understand the symptoms of it and then they attack it. And that is a very difficult thing to do. It is very easy to make da'wah to people by giving them the things they want to hear and neglecting the things they don't want to hear. For example, the people are suffering from a certain problem. For example, we're dealing with a government that is ruling with a dictatorship. We're not going to speak about the government. Leave that alone. The people in front of me are smoking. I'm not going to talk about smoking. I'm going to talk about something else. The people that I'm dealing with are suffering from a problem of hijab. The women are not wearing hijab. No, I'm going to talk about salah. I'm not going to talk about hijab. That is controversial. Leave it alone. The people would love you as a da'ya when you do that. They would love you because you're letting them hear the things they want to hear. But that's not the way of the anbiya of Allah. The Anbiya of Allah would attack the particular problem the society is suffering from. And that is what put the Anbiya of Allah in trouble. That is why all of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffered from the oppression of their people, because the people don't want to hear about their mistakes. People do not want you to tell them about their problems. They don't want you to tell them that they're wrong. People want you to make them feel that they're comfortable. And they attack and they pinpoint the particular problem and they attack it. All of the Anbiya of Allah, this is their way. But in the da'wah that we give today, very rarely do we follow this method, because we are weak. But we need to follow the way of the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their da'wah. It's very important. Because the religion of Allah comes to confront the particular problems that the people are facing with. It did not come to deal with hypothetical problems and hypothetical issues and issues of the past. The ummah is suffering from problems today. We need to face those problems and not talk about things that are already dead or gone or things that didn't happen. And that is why Lut alayhi salam attacked the people and told them about the thing they don't want to hear about. The people of Lut were suffering from the disease of homosexuality. That was a major disease that the society was suffering from. That wasn't the only problem. They also had other problems related to that, and that is that they were criminals. They would rob the travelers. They would cause corruption in the land. They had very perverted hearts. So Lut told the people,
أتأتون الذكران من العالمين وتذرون ما خلق لكم ربكم من أزواجكم بل أنتم قوم عادون.
Go you in unto the males of the mankind and leave those whom Allah has created for you to be your wives. Nay, you are trespassing people. He told them, this thing you're doing is wrong. The people of Lut were very, very corrupt. We read in these ayat, Lut is telling his people,
وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ.
Lut told his people, do you commit this great sin while you see one another? The people of Lut used to do this in public in their clubs. They wouldn't do it in secret and private. They would do it in public. And they are the ones who invented this sin. Therefore, if anybody tells you that this is in the genes, that's not true. Because the people of Lut are the ones who invented it. Now we find in America, they're trying to justify this action by saying that this is something biological in your genes. That's not the case, because Lut alayhi salam says,
وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ وَتَقْطَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرُ.
And remember Lut when he said to his people, you commit sodomy, which none has preceded you in committing in the world. Nobody did this before you. You are the ones who invented this sin. وَتَقْطَعُونَ السَّبِيلِ, and you would rob the traveler. وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرِ, and you would commit sins in your clubs. They had these clubs in which they would drink and they would commit these sins in their clubs in public. Very evil. And the people of Lut, they completely lost a concept of shame. They had no shame, no haya. Because when you reach to the level where you would commit such a thing in public, that tells you that these people had no haya, no shame whatsoever. And this is something that we find in the West today, among men and among women. There's no shyness. Being shy is a negative characteristic. You're supposed to be assertive and aggressive and outgoing and loud and noisy. And I've seen from some of the sisters, for example, that the hijab is only a shell from the outside, but from the inside, it's homegrown in America. And I've seen it for example, in conventions, you find that young Muslim sisters are bumping into the brothers and pushing them around and screaming in the elevators and laughing loudly. This is something that you cannot see in Muslim countries when you go to the rural areas. There is shyness. This haya is lost. This haya is lost even from the Muslims who are living in the West. And these are very important qualities because haya is a branch of iman. Haya is a branch of iman, and haya is not only for the women, it's also for the men. Haya is for the men and women. The people of Lut, when they heard this message that Lut was telling them that what you're doing is wrong,
وَمَا كَانَ جَوَابَ قَوْمِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا أَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَتِكُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ.
And the answer of his people was only that they said, drive them out of your town. Why? What was the justification given by the people of Lut? إِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ يَتَطَهَرُونَ. Because these are people who want to be pure. See how the good becomes bad and the bad becomes good? How the concepts are turned upside down? The people of Lut are saying, kick Lut out. Why? Because they want to be pure. You're supposed to be impure. If you want to stay here, you cannot be pure. In other words, they're saying that our law does not protect the pure people. If you want to be clean, then you're in the wrong place. It's the same thing with Muslims. If now living in the West, if you are going to follow the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be pure, you are looked at as fundamentalist or extremist. You have to go with the society in these impurities and dirt to get along. This is tahara. And they were upset because the people of Lut had tahara, they wanted them to leave. And then they said, if you cease not, O Lut, verily you will be one of those who are driven out. Lut, even though he is alone, but he's telling them in public the truth.
قَالَ إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ.
Realize and know that I disapprove severely and strongly what you are doing. I'm not going to get along with you. I do not approve what you're doing. And then he made a dua.
رَبِّ نَجِّنِي وَأَهْلِي مِمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ.
My Lord, save me and my family from what they do. In another part of the world, Ibrahim alayhi salam received three guests. Three men. They came in the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the father of generosity, he went out and got a calf and he slaughtered it. They say that the two requirements of generosity are, number one, quality and quantity. For you to be generous, you have to provide good quality and you have to provide the right quantity. That's the two conditions of generosity, quality and quantity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this calf that Ibrahim presented to the people, in one ayah it says, عجل سمين, it was a fat calf, and in the other ayah it says, عجل حنيف, it is a roasted calf. So one ayah is talking about the quality of that food, it was excellent quality, it was roasted, so it was very well cooked. And the other ayah is telling us about the quantity of the food, and that is عجل سمين. It was fat. It was enough for them. So Ibrahim fulfilled the two requirements of generosity, the quality and the quantity. So he presented them with this calf. He slaughtered it. He cooked it. It's a lot of effort. And he presented it to these three guests. But the amazing thing, or the shocking thing to Ibrahim, is that they didn't eat. travelers who must be hungry. And they didn't eat. Ibrahim, alayhi salam, was afraid. He started feeling mistrust towards them.
فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ وَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً.
But when he saw their hands went not towards the meal, he felt some mistrust of them and conceived a fear of them. They said, قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ, do not be afraid.
قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ إِنَّا أُرْسِلْنَا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِ لُوطٍ.
We are messengers of Allah sent to the people of Lut. These three men were angels sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people of Lut. Immediately when they said this statement, Sayyidatna Sara was in the background listening to them, and when she heard that these three messengers, messengers as angels, when these three messengers are going to punish the people of Lut, she laughed. فضحكت, she laughed. Why did she laugh? We should have hatred in our hearts of evil. And we should be happy and pleased when the punishment comes on evil. So Sayyidatna Sara, when she heard the news that these evil people are going to be destroyed, she was happy. Obviously, maybe many of us don't understand this concept. What we understand is, when my team wins in soccer or when my team wins in basketball or in football, that's when we're happy and that's when we're cheering. But with the salihin, the righteous, these are the games that they watch. And this is what they're happy for. And it's not a game. It's the conflict between good and evil. And they're happy when good wins. And they're upset when evil wins. So Sayyidatna Sara was happy when she heard the news that the people of Lut are going to be destroyed. When she left, what was the response of the angels, the three men? These angels were in the form of men.
وَامْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمَةٌ فَضَحِكَتْ فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقَ وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ.
We gave her the glad tidings of Ishaq. وَمِنْ وَرَىٰ إِسْحَاقِ يَعْقُوبِ. And after Ishaq, Yaqub, Jacob. So they gave her now glad tidings. We also came to give you the glad tidings that you will have a son, his name will be Ishaq, and then your son Ishaq will have a son, and he's Yaqub. She slapped her face. فَصَكَّتْ وَجْهَا. She slapped her face and said, I am an old woman. And my husband is old. How can we have a child? هَذَا أَمْرٌ عَجِيبٌ. She said, this is a strange thing. She slapped her face in amazement. And she frowned. هَذَا أَمْرٌ عَجِيبٌ. هَذَا شَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. This is a strange thing. The angels told her, أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Is the order and commandment of Allah strange? There's nothing strange. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kun fayakun. He would tell anything to be and it will become.
وَامْرَأَتُهُ قَائِمَةٌ فَضَحِكَتْ فَبَشَّرْنَاهَا بِإِسْحَاقَ وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ.
They said, do you wonder at the decree of Allah, the mercy of Allah and His blessings be on you, O family of Ibrahim? Surely He, Allah, is all praising, all glorious. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh alaykum ahlul bayt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the blessings and the mercy and the household of Ibrahim. It's a blessed household. Ibrahim and Sarah received the glad tidings of a son. They were given the glad tidings. And this is after Ibrahim already had his son, Ismail. They were very old in age, maybe over 100 years old. They're given the news that they would have a child and his name would be Ishaq. And then after Ishaq, Yaqub. The Jews say that Ishaq was the one who was sacrificed and not Ismail. Now, how can Ishaq be sacrificed when Ibrahim and Sarah were told that Ishaq would live and would have a son, and his son would be Yaqub? What's the point in telling Ibrahim to sacrifice Ishaq if Ibrahim already knows that Ishaq would live and would have a son, and his son is Yaqub? I mean, this shows you that the Jews, because of their jealousy and hatred, they try to change everything. Take everything from Ismail and give it to Ishaq. All of them are the Anbiya of Allah, and Allah gives honoring to whomever He wills. Anyway, this is something on the side. Now, in this meeting, the angels delivered this news that you would have a child and his name is Ishaq. Ibrahim is thinking about something else. Ibrahim is concerned. We would expect that Ibrahim would be concerned about the news that he would have a son. No, he was thinking about something else. He thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will give him Ishaq, but he is concerned. He's thinking about something else at that moment. And he just waited, and then the conversation about Ishaq and Yaqub was over, and then he said,
فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الرَّوْءُ وَجَاءَتْهُ الْبُشْرَى يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوطٍ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَحَلِيمٌ أَوَّاهٌ مُنِيبٌ.
Then when the fear had gone away from the mind of Ibrahim and the glad tidings had reached him, he began to plead with us for the people of Lut. Ibrahim was concerned. The angel said that they would destroy the people of Lut. Ibrahim was concerned for two reasons. First of all, because Lut was still there. And another ayah, Ibrahim is telling the angels, Lut is there. Ibrahim is concerned because his nephew, the righteous Nabi of Allah, Lut, is still in the village. And Ibrahim thought that maybe the punishment will come and destroy everyone in the village. And Ibrahim also, because of his gentleness and his mercy, he was pleading for the people of Lut. He wanted to give them another chance. Maybe they would repent to Allah and believe. So he's pleading for them. Give them another chance. But the angels told him,
Ya Ibrahim, أعرض عن هذا.
Oh Ibrahim, leave this issue alone. Leave this matter alone. إِنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ. The order of Allah has already been revealed. There's no change in it. You cannot plead for this. You cannot make any shafa' on this. The order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commandment of Allah has already descended. And they said, وَإِنَّهُمْ آتِيهِمْ عَذَابٌ غَيْرُ مَرْدُودٌ. And there will verily, verily, there will come a torment for them that cannot be turned back. The punishment, there's no way it can be turned back. That's it. The angels left. They came to Ibrahim to deliver to him news. And that is Ishaq and Yaqub. And they left on their way to fulfill their mission. They're heading to Sadum. When they reach to the outskirts of the town, it is said that the first one who saw them was the daughter of Lut. She saw these three handsome young men. She immediately rushed towards her father and told him, my father, there are three young handsome men coming in town. The father immediately rushed outside to meet them and to tell them, be my guests. Because Lut knows if they are not his guests, they're going to be guests with somebody else in the people of Sadum. If he does not take care of them, they would be in trouble. And these are three young, handsome men. Lut was walking into the town. He was walking in front of them to make sure that nobody will see them. If they're seen, they would be in trouble. So he's leading them in the streets of the town. And then Lut looked back at them and said, والله ما أعلم على وجه الأرض أحد أفسد من أهل هذه القرية. He said, in the name of Allah, I don't know of anyone on the face of the earth who is more evil than these people. They didn't respond. He turned again to them and said, in the name of Allah, I don't know that there's anyone on the face of the earth more evil than these people. What is Lut trying to do? Lut does not want to tell them leave. He doesn't want to say explicitly leave, because they might interpret it as he doesn't want to host us, so let's leave him alone and go and find somebody else. He doesn't want to do that, because he knows if they go and find another host, they would be in trouble. But he wants to give them a correct assessment of the situation. He thinks that these are foreigners, they don't know what's going on. So he wants to tell them, do you know where you're going? Do you know what town is this? Do you know the evil that is happening here? So that they would take the initiative and leave on their own. And he kept on doing that again and again, 3 or 4 or 5 times. Every now and then he would turn back and say, these are the most evil people. These people are corrupt. Lut doesn't know what's happening. Lut is speaking to these 3 men and he does not know what's happening. Because Ibn Kathir says that these 3 angels in the form of men were given instructions by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you do not destroy the people of Lut until you hear the witness of their Nabi against them. So the angels were recording everything Lut was saying because he's their Nabi. They have to hear what he says about them. He is the one who will be asked about them on the Day of Judgment. So before these people are punished, they need to get the most important witness, and that is the witness of their own Nabi. So the angel were silent, and they were recording everything Lut was saying. These people are the evil people on the face of the earth, and the angels are writing that down. They got the witness of Lut, and now they can go ahead with the punishment. Lut is seeing that these 3 men are not getting the point and they're following him and things are getting more difficult on him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing to us the situation of Lut.
وَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا لُوطًا سِيءَ بِهِمْ وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا وَقَالَ هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَصِيبٌ.
And when our messengers came to Lut, he was grieved on their account. And he was feeling pressure. He was feeling uncomfortable. Imagine the situation of Lut. Very difficult situation. He needs to protect these 3 men. And then he took them into his house and he closed the doors. Nobody saw them. So who leaked the news? The wife of Lut. The wife of Lut left and she went to the people of Lut, and she told them that there are 3 handsome men in our house. She was collaborating with them. ضرب الله مثلا الذين كفروا امرأة لوط وامرأة نوح. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the example of the non-believer woman is the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut. She was collaborating with the people of Lut, and she is the one who leaked out the information that these 3 men are in town. She went and told them this. The news was spreading and the crowds were gathering in the streets. They were coming out of their clubs, rushing in the streets. Crowds are rushing in the streets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَجَاءَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ.
And the inhabitants of the city came rejoicing, happy, celebrating, and rioting and demonstrations were outside of the house of Lut. And there was a crowd. Imagine huge crowd of men celebrating and dancing and singing. يستبشرون, they're happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this evil scene. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَمْرُكَ. In your life. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an oath in his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an oath in anything of his creation. We can only make an oath in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made an oath in no other human being in Quran except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La'amruka. In your life. Allah is making an oath in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does Allah say?
La'amruka innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahoon.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily by your life, they are in their wild intoxication, wandering blindly. Sakra, they were drunk, but they were not drunk because of alcohol. They were not intoxicated because of alcohol, they were intoxicated by their lust. Desires, and especially sexual desires, they can blind a person. They can literally blind the heart. It can make a person drunk, obsessed, blind. أعمل بصيرة. And that was the situation of the people of Lut. Lut came out to his people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ.
And his people came rushing towards him. Lut told these people,
قَالَ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ ضَيْفِي فَلَا تَفْضَحُونَ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُخْزُونَ.
Verily these are my guests, do not shame me. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُخْزُونَ. And fear Allah and do not disgrace me. What is this disgrace you're going to cause on me? These are my guests. They told him, Lut,
قَالُوا أَوَلَمْ نَنْهَكَ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Didn't we prohibit you from hosting any guests? By their corrupt law, by their law, they have already placed some restrictions on Lut. They told them, you are not allowed to host any guests. And then Lut told them,
قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ.
Here are my daughters, marry them. He's not talking about his own daughters, he's talking about the daughters of the Ummah, because he is like their father. He said, here are the daughters. They said, مَالَنَا, we don't have any need in your daughters. You know what we want. إِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمْ مَا نُرِيدُ. You know what we want. We want your guests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this difficult, critical situation. Crowds celebrating outside and rioting outside the house of Lut, pushing the door to come in. Lut said, هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَصِيبٌ. This is a distressful, difficult day. What a difficult day. The pressure was building on Lut. Building and building and building. He's carrying all of this pressure on his shoulders. He then said, هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَصِيبٌ. This is a distressful day. He's trying his best, but he's losing grounds. And when he felt that this is a hopeless case, and that he's losing this battle, he wanted help. But Lut did not belong to that town, so he didn't have any family to help him. He didn't have a tribe support to support him. And Lut didn't have any sons. He had daughters. He didn't have any men to fight with him. He was alone. In that moment of difficulty, in that critical moment, and extreme moments of distress, and Sayyidina Lut, he said the following statement.
قَالَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ آوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ.
If only I had a source of power to lean on. I wish that I have a source of power to lean on so that I can fight you. Family or tribe or men or sons. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Yarhamullah Lut. May Allah have mercy on Lut. He had the strongest source of power with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that particular moment when Lut said that statement, I wish that I can kneel on some source of power. In that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the angels said,
قَالُوا يَا لُوطُ إِنَّا رُسُلُ رَبِّكَ لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ.
O Lut, we are the messengers of Allah. They will not reach you and harm you. These three men finally spoke out in that moment. Just 1 second before the defeat of Lut, because that's it. These men were crowding and were breaking in. And in that moment in which Lut said, I wish that I have a source of power to lean on, Rasulullah ﷺ said he had the strongest power with him. He had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his side. The angels then spoke up and said, O Lut, we are the messengers of Allah. Do not fear, and they will not reach you. And then they said,
فأسر بأهلك بقطع من الليل ولا يلتفت منكم أحد إلا امرأتك إلا امرأتك إنه مصيبها ما أصابهم إن موعدهم الصبح أليس الصبح بقريب.
Leave with your family in the darkness of the night. ولا يلتفت منكم أحد. And nobody of you look back. When you leave, do not look back. إلا امرأتك, except your wife. There are two interpretations on this. One interpretation is that do not take your wife with you, leave her in town. The other interpretation is that she would leave with you, but then she would look back and she would be killed. إنها مصيبها ما أصابهم. She would be punished with the same punishment they are punished. And then they said, إن موعدهم الصبح. أليس الصبح بقريب. Their appointed time is morning. Isn't morning soon? Lot left in the dark, under the darkness of night with his daughters, with his family. Early in the morning with sunrise, when Lot is already away from Sodom, he walked away. Suddenly, الصيحة, the awful cry, attacked the people of Lot. And then the angel Jibril transformed out of this human form into his original angelic form. Jibril, which was in the form of a man, came out in his angelic form to fill the horizon with 700 wings. And then Jibril alayhi salam, with the tip of his wing, with the tip of his wing, not with the whole wing, with the tip of his wing, scraped up the whole town of the people of Lot and raised them up in the sky and then flipped them upside down and smashed them back to earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on them stones. Everyone received a stone with his name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never, ever combined such a punishment on any people in history. They were afflicted with the awful cry. And then they were raised up and turned upside down. And then they received missiles from the sky to destroy them all and to exterminate them from the face of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِقِينَ فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّيلٍ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُتَوَسِّمِينَ.
The awful cry overtook them at the time of sunrise, and we turned them upside down and rained down on them stones of baked clay. Surely, in this are signs for those who see. I want to close with this verse. But before that, let's look at the conditions we're living in. We're living now in a society that is starting to recognize homosexuals as a minority group that deserves special status and deserves special rights. We are living in a society that now is publicly promoting this in media, TV, movies. We're living in a society that is now officially in some places marrying them. We are living in a society that regards them as a group that needs to be defended. These things that exist in America and the West today, we need to understand and realize, according to my information, according to my knowledge, never ever in the history of mankind, since Lot until now, whether we're talking about pagans, or Muslims, or Christians, or Jews, or any other religion, never has this sin been promoted publicly as it is being promoted today in the West. And look at all of the societies of the world. I'm not talking about Muslims only. This is something that is not viewed with any respect in any religion. In every culture and society, whether we're talking about Asia, India or China, Japan, Africa, Europe, up till this time, nobody in the world, since the time of Lot until now, allowed such a sin to be promoted publicly and to be sanctified by the law, except the societies of the West that we are living in today. And we need to realize that if this sin is promoted and becomes public and is protected by law, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring down His punishment, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after these ayat of Lut, says, and this punishment is not far away from the evildoers. This punishment will come down on any society that promotes such a sin. This sin does exist in every society of the world, but it's underground, and the people despise it, and the people dislike it, and they make fun of anybody who commits it. And they are outcasts of the society in any place in the world, Muslim or non-Muslim. Except in the West today, it is looked upon right now, and we could get to that stage in the future, where for some people they view it as an honor. That is how evil things became. This is the perception we need to have about this sin, that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow to happen. And this is something that will draw the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make our voice clear, and we say that we disapprove this sin, we disapprove it severely, we view that this sin is haram, and then it should be punished, and we do not approve of any public promotion of such a sin, and we make it a statement that we say aloud and clearly to everyone, and we're not afraid, and we say, even if they accuse us of discrimination or accuse us of extremism or fundamentalism, this is our religion. This is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِّي لَعَمَلَكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ. We severely disapprove this. صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
Please proceed to the next CD.